Good afternoon. Let's start off with a verse. If you will, turn with me to James 1. James 1, we'll start in verse 22. James 1, 22 through 25 from the ESV. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer of who forgets, but a doer of who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Today, I want to talk about how we can be doers of the word. The title of my message is Be Doers of the Word. As I was growing up, I thought that being a doer of the word was only to keep the law of God. But as I grew in the character of God, it has become clear to me that legalism is not enough. This is not to say that we should not try to keep the law to the best of our abilities. But I also want to take this a step further as we grow in our faith. In our pursuit of being doers of the word, I have come up with three things that can help us. In order to be doers, one, you should have conversations about your faith. In order to be doers of the word, you should learn to boast in your weaknesses. In order to be doers of the word, you should be willing to fail and keep on going. So let's start off in the first point, having conversations about our faith. To do this well, you need to be able to meet people where they are. And not just talk at them and try to force your ideas upon them. So what do I mean exactly by meet people where they are? To meet somebody where they are, you must first start by asking questions. Because we can't see everyone's hearts. But we have to learn at where they are coming from and what struggles they have gone through. And then you must be willing to change your perspective, to be able to change how you're approaching the conversation, so that you may better be able to plant those seeds. This is not to say that you must degrade or change your position. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But in order to see a good example of this, let's look to our brother Jesus in Luke 24. So if you will, turn with me to Luke 24, verse 13. We'll be reading 13 through 27. Luke 24, 13. That very day, two of them were going to the village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all these things that had happened. This is on the third day after Jesus has been resurrected. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know what things have happened here in these days?" Then he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people. And how our chief high priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen visions of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" 27. He began with Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted it to them all the scriptures and things concerning himself. Here we see Jesus meets these two men, and in their despair, they don't even see him. Yet instead of getting frustrated with them, Jesus starts off by asking them questions. This is not only to show Jesus where they are, but it also helps put affect the two men. By letting them express what's happened, Jesus allows these two to get their minds set in the right direction so that he may reveal to them why he had to die. Through this act of meeting somebody where they are, there's also an aspect of perseverance. Not a long-term perseverance, but a perseverance in the conversation so that you can start to see where the person is coming from and where God wants you to plant seeds that he can help that person grow. So now, let's go on to the second point. Boast in your weaknesses. This is about being humble and giving all glory to God. So if you will, let's see what Paul has to say about this in 2 Corinthians 12. That's 2 Corinthians 12, we'll start off in verse 6. "2 2 Corinthians 12, verse 6 through 10. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pled with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardship, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. What amazing faith shown here by Paul. But of course, it's Paul, right? But this is the type of faith we should all have. He chooses to bring himself low, that he can humble himself before God. It is through our weaknesses that God's glory truly shines. But what Paul doesn't say here is how our weaknesses can endear us to one another. And through the sharing of our weaknesses, it shows us that we are all humans and all have struggles. And by helping each other with our weaknesses, it is as iron sharpening iron and allows us to overcome these weaknesses through the help of the Holy Spirit and our fellow brothers. So then it's my turn to boast in my weakness. For if you know me, you probably know that I'm not a good public speaker. In fact, it's quite the opposite. In college, I was the person who nobody wanted on their group when it came to speaking or even presenting a project before the class. I would often freeze up and lose my train of thought. And even to this day, getting up here, I am scared. But through God's grace and the Holy Spirit, I am here today speaking in front of y'all. And it is only by his grace and power. For without him, I can't do anything. It is his love and his will that guides me. It gives me this joy that I can't do anything but speak about. So now, let's go to our last point. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fail. Failure means that you are doing something. And it's paramount to fail because this allows God to show you where your weaknesses are. As long as you get back up and continue to grow in how God wants you to grow, you are not truly failing, but rather just hitting another road bump. Another time that God is refining you. But even better, we have been given a helper to help us overcome. So let us turn to Romans 8, verse 26, where we can read about this. That's Romans 8, verse 26 through 30. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself in itself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for these saints according to the will of God. And who knows that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Here we see again that the Holy Spirit will help us when we fall short. And it is for those who love God that all things will work together for their good. This is the ultimate good, that is God's will. So that we might be so lucky to be changed into the image of our brother Jesus. As we are to be first fruits of God's harvest, that God might be glorified in all of us. So finally, to conclude, you can be a doer of the word by meeting people where they are and discussing our faith. By boasting in our weaknesses, we can both humble ourselves in God and endear ourselves to one another. And lastly, remember, it's okay to fail, for the Holy Spirit will work with us to help us overcome and grow to become that perfect doer that God has planned for you. So I'll leave you with this one last verse, if you will, Acts 4, verse 20. That's Acts 4, verse 20. Acts 4, verse 20. For we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. We cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them, because the people of all were praising God for what had happened.